Well, welcome and thank you very much, everybody, for coming. Today, I'm going to present a common research effort that involves students at the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and faculty at two universities, UMass Amherst and Massachusetts College of Pharmacy. The talk today is about risk evaluation and mitigation strategies in who is responsible for drug safety in the U.S. We have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So this is the outline for today, some background information, the objectives of the study, data and methods, results, discussion, conclusions, and policy recommendations. So the Food and Drug Administration Amendment Act 2007 authorized the FDA to require sponsors to submit a proposed risk evaluation and mitigation strategies if they deem it is necessary to ensure the benefits of the drug outweighs the risk of the pharmaceutical products. REMS, Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategies, is a strategy to manage a known or potential serious risk to ensure that the benefits of the drug outweigh the risk. The factors that the FDA consider evaluates to determine REMS include the estimated size of the population that likely will use the drug, the seriousness of the disease or condition that the drug is indicated for, the expected benefit of the drug, and the expected or actual duration of the treatment, and the seriousness of any known potential or previous adverse event. And they also consider if the drug is a new molecular entity, meaning a drug that has not been in the market in the U.S. before. The aims of the REMS include to communicate the drug's risks using medication guides, communication plan to the healthcare provider, or packet, a patient packet insert. The element to assure safe use includes also the mandate measurement of the outcomes and the assessment of the implementation system and evaluation of the goals. The identification of the need for REMS may start very early on in the process. The sponsor pharmaceutical company may identify the need for a REMS during the preclinical development of the product in any of the different phases, 1 through 3, during the clinical development. Once the drug has been approved by the FDA and is in the market, maybe the REMS may be identified during the post-marketing or phase 4, and it may be identified for line extensions or new indications of the product. And even after the withdrawal or discontinuation of the drug, the sponsor or the FDA may still identify the need for REMS. So how REMS plays a role during the drug life cycle of the product? The REMS may be identified during the first approval of the new product, after the approval of the product by the FDA, and before the entry of the generic into the market, may be identified after the entry of the generic into the market, or, as I said before, after the market discontinuation or withdrawal of the product. And, for example, if the product is reintroduced into the market, or even a generic drug may be introduced into the market. This chart represents, keeping in mind the perspective of drug safety, what is the role for REMS, starting with low concerns about the safety of the product. There are standard requirements, increased post-marketing requirements when the safety concern is a little larger, REMS, risk evaluation and mitigation strategies, and finally, when the safety concerns are important, it may require the withdrawal of the pharmaceutical product. The FDA REMS policy change in November 2011, the change in the policy related to REMS contained only medication guides. So a medication guide is part of REMS if it includes elements to assure the safety of the use of that product. If the FDA determines that the REMS is required to ensure that the benefits of the drug outweighs the risk. The objectives of this study were to analyze secular trends in REMS approved and released by the FDA in the period 2008 through May 2012, to assess the characteristics of REMS, and to calculate the time between the FDA drug application approval, when the product is approved by the FDA, and the REMS approval. The data that we use included FDA list of approved REMS, approved drugs products with therapeutic evaluations, therapeutic equivalence evaluations. We use the Onans book and the information included in the company's web pages. The unit of analysis included the pharmaceutical product, the active ingredient, or combination of active ingredients of chemical entities and biologics, and the FDA marketing application number, either the NDA, the new drug application, the generic, the ANDA, or abbreviated new drug application, and the biologic license application. We use the WHO and anatomical therapeutic classification system to classify the REMS according to the different ATC categories. We assess the characteristics of REMS, differentiating between the application type, either NDA, ANDA, or biologics, therapeutic class. We also look at if those products were approved under the priority review process, if they were granted orphan designation by the FDA, and if they were discontinued from the market. We also look at the time lag between the drug and the REMS approval, the time difference between the FDA, NDA, and our biologic approval and the REMS approval, and we also look at the time between the REMS approval and the first REMS modification. So this first chart shows you the number of REMS from the period 2008 to May 2012 by active ingredient. As you can see, the total REMS for active ingredients were 170, 25 of those were in 2008, up to 58 in 2009, little less, 56 in 2010, and 30 in 2011, and only one May 2012. By type of approval, differentiating between new drug applications, generic, abbreviated new drug applications, and biologics, the total REMS for marketing applications were 259. 217 of those were new drug applications, and 10 were genetics, abbreviated new drug applications. 32 of them were biologics. By therapeutic class, the risk evaluation and mitigation strategies using, as I referred before, to the WHO classification, you can see the number of REMS approved by therapeutic class, and nervous system have 54. Followed by antineoplastic and immunomodulating agents, 26, alimentary tract and metabolisms, 20, and infectives, 19, and musculoskeletal system, 16, and so on and so forth. We also look at the priority review status and the orphan drug status. 18 active ingredients with REMS had orphan drug designation by the FDA, which means 11.4% of the 158 active ingredients approved after the enactment of the Orphan Drug Act in 1983. 53 of the NDAs with REMS had priority review granted by the FDA, which means 38.4% of all NDAs with risk evaluation and mitigation strategies. Looking at the different components of REMS, medication guide was the first one, 160 or 94% of all REMS. Communication plan, 31%, almost 32% of those. Elements to assure the safe use, less than 20%, and implementation system, less than 15% or 25% of the REMS. We also look at the time from the application approval by the FDA to the REMS approval. There were 61 REMS, little less than 35% of all REMS, that were approved the same day that the first marketing application approval of the product. So the first day that the product was approved by the FDA, they have also the risk evaluation and mitigation strategy. Related with biologics, this means 15 of those, so 47% of all REMS with biologics, and related with new drug applications, 33% of all REMS with for new drug applications approved. This table summarizes the time from the drug application approval to the REMS approval and the modification in years. And as you can see, for 95% of the REMS approved, the time period between the drug approval and the REMS was on average 14.5 years. The confidence interval going from 11.6 years to 17.3 years. The time period between the first REMS to the first REMS modification for 75 of the REMS in average was 1.2 years, and the confidence interval was from 1 year to 1.3 years. This chart shows you the REMS released by the FDA by year. So the number of REMS approved in 2008 were 25, 15 of those were released. 58 REMS were approved in 2009, and 39 were released in a little lower the number of REMS released in 2010, 29 out of 56 REMS approved, and so on. We look at the different products with REMS in the market withdrawal of those products, and this slide shows you the example of two of those products. Sibutramine hydrochloride was approved in 1997, REMS were approved in 2010, and the market withdrawal of the product occurred in 2011. Another example, efalizumab, approved in 2003, REMS approved in 2008, and the market withdrawal occurred a year later. So who is responsible for drug safety in the U.S.? It's the FDA, through the identification of the risk evaluation and mitigation strategies requiring the pharmaceutical companies to comply with the REMS. It's the sponsor, it's the pharmaceutical company, it's the healthcare professionals prescribing pharmaceuticals to their patients, or it's the patient itself nowadays requesting more and more pharmaceutical products to their healthcare professionals, or it's the payer, the insurance company. From the FDA to patients, healthcare providers, healthcare professionals, and the industry, they all share, in our view, the safety responsibility for pharmaceutical products. Of course, they all advocate for different perspectives in terms of how to manage the risk of pharmaceutical products. They all have a different approach and different perspective. Healthcare professionals, payers, patients, sponsors, and the FDA are all accountable for drug safety and the impact of drug regulation. Patients today understand that there are risks of taking drugs and are willing to take this risk for the possibility of increasing their quality of life. So at the end of the day, it's a trade-off for the patient. They are aware of the risk, but at the same time, they are pursuing an improvement in their health status or quality of life. As I mentioned in the background, in November 2011, there was a very important change in the policy. The FDA runs policy changes related to medication guides. As a result, 55.3% of the active ingredients with REMS were released from REMS. Releasing companies from REMS released them for the assessment and the modifications that the FDA required before November 2011 to be incorporated into the pharmaceutical products. So as a consequence, there was a significant reduction in the number of REMS approved after the implementation of the policy. As I mentioned, this policy has an important impact in terms of the number of REMS approved after the implementation of the policy and the REMS release because of the implementation of the policy. Nevertheless, the change in the policy did not respond or wasn't the result of a detailed review of the REMS system. The new policy was not followed by the implementation of a system for strengthening the measurement and assessment of the impact of REMS on health outcomes, which is, in our view, the ultimate goal to assess what is the impact on the health status of the patient. So to conclude, the FDA approved REMS for in the period of time 2008, May 2012, the FDA approved REMS for 1 in 3 biologics and 1 in 13 new chemical entities, new NDAs, new pharmaceutical products. The number of pharmaceuticals with serious risk associated requiring REMS significantly increased over time. Before 2008, 7% of the active ingredients approved before 2008 required REMS, while 31% of all active ingredients approved between 2008 and May 2012 required REMS. 170 REMS were approved in the study period. 10% of them have orphan drug designation, and 31% were granted, followed the priority review process. Looking at the different indications, therapeutic class, 32% of them were related indicated for the nervous system and 15% antineoplastic product, cancer products. The approval time was 14.5 years from, in average, from the first drug application approval to the REMS approval, and 1.2 years from the REMS to the REMS modification. Most pharmaceuticals with REMS had indications for large patient populations, were marketed by large pharmaceutical companies, and were approved by the FDA using the standard review system. So to conclude, a product can be in the market for an average of over 14 years from the first drug approval application to the REMS approval. Based on this, what are the recommendations? We recommend that additional guidance are needed. We need to bear in mind the cost associated with REMS, so how to manage this cost and how this cost could be potentially shift to the price of the pharmaceutical product. It is also recommended to standardize the risk evaluation and mitigation strategies and to measure and conduct a thorough assessment of the impact of REMS on health outcomes. Thank you.